The Word of God, Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 40. So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed Him, for they were all waiting for Him. And behold, there was a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged Him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as He went, the multitudes thronged Him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of His garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and fell down before Him. She declared to Him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched Him and how she was healed immediately. And He said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While He's still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to Him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the Master anymore." But when Jesus heard it, He answered him, saying, "Do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well." When He came into the house, He permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her. But He said, "Do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed Him, knowing that she was dead. But He put them all outside, took the little girl by the hand, and called, saying, "Little girl, rise." Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately, and He commanded that she should be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but He charged them to tell no one what had happened. This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. In the Gospels, we have the record of six people whom Jesus touched and were healed by that touch of divine power and compassion. But here is an opposite story. One person who touched Him and was healed. And in this story we have two miracles, or perhaps we'd call it a miracle within a miracle, because Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, has gone to Jesus to ask Him to come and heal his 12-year-old daughter who's dying, who's at the point of death. And since the scribes and the Pharisees are hostile to Jesus, it takes an incredible amount of faith, an incredible amount of humility and courage for Jairus to come and ask this teacher to come to his house. But he has only one child, a daughter, and she's dying. I'm quite sure that this man, who was a man of position and a man of wealth, would have taken every possible cure, would have called every doctor, would have taken her to see every physician who said they could help. And now she's dying. Nothing has helped. And he comes, and there in the street, with everybody watching, this synagogue ruler falls to his knees at Jesus' feet. He says, "Come to my house that my daughter may live." Jesus immediately heads for his house. There are times we've seen in the Gospels when Jesus would delay. He wouldn't move immediately. Perhaps the most famous one is when he got word that Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus was sick. He waited. He waited until Lazarus was dead and buried 4 days before he showed up in town. But this time he turns immediately and heads for Jairus' house, and the word spreads. And it's soon a multitude, a mob, and he's having to push through the crowd and push out of the way to make any progress down the way to it. I watched a golf tournament a few weeks ago where Phil Mickelson won, the oldest man to win a major tournament, and they had to move the crowd out of the way because they were all swooping around him. That's what Jesus was experiencing in that moment. And there's someone in the crowd, probably over on the side, out of the way, not drawing any attention to herself, is a woman who's been sick for 12 years. A 12-year-old daughter dying, a woman with a 12-year sickness. And this sickness, which the Gospels call an issue of blood, was one that would have banned her from society. In extreme cases, she would have been forced to move out of her house and not even live with her husband. She couldn't go to synagogue, because if she touched anything, according to Jewish law, she was unclean. If she touched anything, the thing she touched would be unclean. The people she touched, or who touched her, would be unclean. And so I'm thinking she's over to the side, out of the way, trying not to draw any attention to her. But like Jairus, she's done everything she can do to bring healing. Luke says she's gone to all the doctors. And evidently at one point this woman was someone who had the means, because he remarks she's spent it all now. And Mark records the same story, and the two of them say back and forth, she spent all that she had, was not any better, in fact grew worse. And now here comes this mob, this multitude, pressing forward with Jesus either at the head or surrounded, trying to push through. And she says in her heart, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed." 12 years have passed. Think of all that you have experienced in the last 12 years. All the things you've done, all the places you've gone, the sights you've seen, the joy you've had. There may be something wrong with my cell phone. It doesn't do it all the time. Bonnie's does it all the time. You'll open up in the morning and it'll say, "Here's what you were doing on this day 4 years ago, 5 years ago," whatever it is. And you scroll through the pictures and see where you were and see what you were doing. Imagine those 12 years. There she stands, hoping. She's heard about Jesus. She's heard the miracles. She's heard what he's done. And every time Jesus touches somebody, and he does it again today, he says, "Don't tell them." And they tell anyway. And the word spread, and his fame grows. She says, if I can just get through this crowd and touch the hem of his garment, a long robe was the outer covering of a Jewish man, down to the ground. And the hem of his garment is not like the hem of our trousers or the hem of a skirt. It was four tassels. One on the left, one on the right, one in front, one in back. And that was considered the hem of the garment. Four little doodlies of string hanging there. And she says, if I can just touch that, he'll heal me. Now, what do you have to do to touch the hem of his garment if there's a crowd pushing around? You've got to get down on your knees and your hands and crawl and take the bumps and take the pushes and take the curses and take the kicks until you get close enough to just get a touch. The word that Luke uses to touch the hem doesn't mean to grab and hold on. It's just to brush your hand by it. A quick touch. First miracle is that she made it that far. And Jesus stops the procession and says, who touched me? And first, nobody will admit. They all deny it. And Peter and some of the disciples say, Lord, a moment please. You see all this crowd, they're jostling around you, they're bumping into you, it's all we can do to make our procession down the street. What do you mean, who touched me? And Jesus said, no, there was a different touch. There was a different touch. There was a touch of faith. Now imagine at this moment, while this procession is on its way to Jairus' house where the 12-year-old daughter is dying, and evidently the condition is severe enough that her father goes at risk of his reputation, perhaps at risk of his job and his position in the synagogue to bring Jesus down, this whole procession stops. And he's standing there, nervous, fidgeting, wishing, why are we stopping? Could we keep on? Jairus' daughter will be healed. We've read the end of the story. We know what's going to happen. But one miracle will not exclude another miracle. And when she's certain she cannot be hidden, when she knows she's been found out, maybe still on her hands and knees, maybe scuttling back to get away, she stands up and says, it was me. And tells why. And Jesus says, daughter, the only woman in Scripture we know of that Jesus addressed in that fashion. What a gentle, tender word. Daughter. I don't think that represents her age. It might mean she's a young woman. Maybe in her 30s or 40s. But it's the tenderness that that word represents. Daughter. Be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. It was not the hem of my garment that you touched that healed you. but your faith in me that's made you whole. Go in peace. Now quickly, let's take some lessons from this story. First of all, this beautiful story shows the interest that Jesus took in one individual. His public ministry is brief. I think he knows from the time in Cana of Galilee that he turns the water into wine that he doesn't have much time. I'm confident he does. And there's a lot to be done. There's followers to be taught so they can carry it on after he's gone. There are signs to demonstrate, to prove the authenticity of Scripture. But here's one sick person of no social standing, of no social value, of no importance to society. In fact, the Jewish society has pushed her out because of her condition. He stops for her. One day in Jericho, he looks up at a tree and sees a man who is short of stature. Just one man. He says, "Zacchaeus, what are you doing up there? Come down out of that tree. I'm coming to your house for lunch." There's a man by the name of Bartimaeus at the gates of Jericho, hollering out, "Jesus, thou Son of God, have mercy on me." And the crowd tells him, "Shut up. You're going to disturb the master." And he cries even louder. One man. And he heals him. And fast forward to the day that Jesus dies. There's a man on each side of him also crucified. And he turns to the one thief who showed repentance. And said, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." My brothers, my sisters, if you ever get to feeling that no one's interested in you, you are very, very mistaken. There's one who cares, one who is deeply interested in you, one who went to the cross and died for you. Secondly, this miracle shows us faith heals. I wonder, and Bible scholars have wondered, was it superstition that caused her to think, "If I can touch the hem of his garment, just touch it, just brush it, I'll be healed"? Was it superstition that caused people after the day of Pentecost to bring sick people out and lay them in the street so that Peter and the others walking by, their shadow would fall over them, that they'd be healed? Was it superstition that the people of Ephesus asked Paul to cut up his undershirt and send pieces of it as prayer cloths? Whatever causes faith to spring to life, tiny, tiny seed. You remember the seed, the mustard seed Jesus talked about. Whatever causes that tiny seed to spring to life. Our grandson Mac, 12 years old, sleeps with his night-night. That's in shabby shape after 12 years. And a little red cloth that the pastors of the church where they attend anointed with oil and prayed over at a time that Mac was having some serious physical needs. And when he comes to the house to stay overnight, inside of his pillow that's covered with a Star Wars pillowcase, inside of his pillow is night-night and that red prayer cloth. It may have been superstition that caused the faith to spring, but there was faith She didn't try to touch the hem of the garment of Jairus or any of the rulers or notables who were there that day, but only the hem of Jesus. And we have those things to reach out and touch today. We have prayer. We have the Bible. We have fellowship with each other. We have this time of worship. We're coming to the table in a few minutes. Just reach out and touch. Let your faith loose and reach out and touch. And thirdly, with this woman and with the healing of Jairus' daughter, the word was, don't tell anybody. But they told it. And all the people heard it. And his fame continued to spread. If you touch the hem of Christ's garment and he has blessed you, tell it. The one thing that skeptics cannot argue with, the one thing that skeptics cannot overturn, the unopposable argument is, I prayed and the Lord heard, and here's the proof. I remember one time when Bonnie and I were pastoring a church in Beckley, West Virginia. On a Sunday night, after church, a woman came to the parsonage and she said, I want you to pray for my daughter. She has terrible scoliosis, her spine in an S shape. And we've been to the doctor and we're going back tomorrow and they're going to take one more set of x-rays and they're going to begin treatment based on that. Would you pray for her? And there in our living room, Bonnie and I and this lady pray. I've seen the first set of x-rays with her spine twisted. I've seen the second set of x-rays with her spine straight and normal. There's no answer to the fact, I prayed, God heard, here's the proof. When you reach out and touch the hem of His garment, tell it. Who touched me? Jesus asked. Many are searching today. You who've named His name and claimed His grace and His mercy. If there's something that has been draining you, something that has been burdening you, something that has been pulling you down, maybe not 12 years, maybe 12 years. Some dread, some fear, some dislike, some enmity, some haunting. Trust that if you reach out, you reach out and just brush the hem of His garment, you'll be made whole. Who touched me? Lord, it was me. Daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. If there's something this morning that you'd like to hear Him say that to you, as we come to His table, put forth your hand and touch Him. This morning, let this grape juice and this wafer be for you the hem of His garment.